American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. Oh, God damn, this voice is brutal. I'm like, I've almost got a tornado.
Sounded perfect.
And this is a good day. This is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, May 8th, 2006. And this would be Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep for Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace. And timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening to this broadcast, you are as well. If you would like to read all the news stories along with me, as well as keep a track of meaningless shit in my life, you can go to Sean_Kennedy, SEAN_KENNEDY, spelt like the dead guy, .livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAC Radio, Osprey Radio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, SRN1, N99, Nuke FM. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit by giving it to children and other such people. And as you can tell by my ever so deft intro that, in fact, my laptop has been returned unto me by Dragon. Thank you very much, Dragon. My little pet tech wizard, which is nice because dragons know how to work on tech.
I mean, that's good, yeah.
Anyone who plays riffs knows that. And now, my beautiful and talented co-host, Sumerian.
Yes, I'm here too.
He's here too. Always good. With a sporty haircut, I gotta say.
Yeah,
me and Sim go to the same barber.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on.
Does a good job.
Yeah, his name's Raph.
Yep.
Yeah, he's on 56th and Langley. On the
Fraser
one-way.
Highway.
Is it Fraser Highway? Fraser Highway in Langley. On the one way.
Good haircut. Tell him Sean sent you.
You betcha. $12 and he can do a flat top.
Yeah.
One of two guys in the province who can do
Believe
a flat top.
Believe me.
Ray down on West 4th in Vancouver at Kitsilano Barbers,
yep.
And Raph's Cuts, Raph, Fraser Highway.
Yeah, don't even bother going to anywhere else because anywhere else sucks.
Well, Sim drives for like an hour and a half to get his
on
haircut.
On a Saturday
from Raph.
Into Langley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sex.
It's worth it.
It's totally hot. And he's Lebanese.
Yep.
And a nice guy. He's a Muslim guy. Yeah, he's Lebanese.
He's Lebanese,
but he's lived in like a bunch of these other countries. And he's really
all
cool
over
to
the
talk
place.
To about it. Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Very cool. Very nice guy.
Got some feedback. Do you have any feedback?
Nothing not major? This week, no.
You had that photo of season 1, season 2 of Patrolling.
That was good.
That was hot. It's nice we could link that somehow. But
Maybe one day.
Not today because it's not so visual. So I wonder how many people, do you have any idea how many people, like I know we're downloaded and listened to more than we're caught live. I mean, that's just the
truth. Oh, for this show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, how do people listen to us?
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering. Are you at work? Is it on headphones? Are you on
driving?
The train? Are you driving? Is it in the iPod?
Yeah.
How are you listening to the show? I want to know.
Sneaking in at work.
Are you sneaking in at work?
Putting the headphones on during your lunch break,
you know, I listen during math class, which if you do, you're an idiot. I mean, no.
Math is important.
Yeah, everything works by mathematics. So should you. But, I'm interested.
Yeah.
in that. I'd like to know how you
Let
listen
us know.
To the show. Yeah, so email, info. No. Sorry.
No,
Newsreel.
I don't want them.
Newsreel. NEWSREAL at rantradio.com and let me know how that shit works.
If it's unusual, if you like listening at home. Then, yeah.
Well, whatever. If you listen at home, then it's not unusual. That's how you listen.
Yeah.
I roll with Deshaun at home. Yeah. That's how I roll with this.
Is that right the bar? Before I go to bed, it puts me to sleep.
Yeah. I listen,
I've heard that so many times.
Well, people listen to After Now while they sleep, which is like.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah, that's a really like how did it make it like totally take away all like forward thinking positive thoughts of the future.
I wake up crying and screaming.
I wake up and I'm like, oh shit, I'm still alive. You know, it's like wow, darkness.
Maybe they're hoping to like dream about the afternoon.
Darkness, everybody. Yeah, it's bizarre. I don't know why people do that, but I guess they do. You know, got some feedback. I got two pieces of feedback here.
Okay.
Dear Sean. Just wanted to drop a line as I listened to this week's newsreel. I had a recent copy of newsreel and episodes for the first season of Tales from the Afternoon of After Now on two colored CDs.
Colored makes them better.
What's that? Yeah, they do.
Colors really enhances them.
One audio and one MP3 CD, which on a walk to a supermarket, I was going to go on record saying I didn't litter in my town. Right, I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Before I left the supermarket parking lot, there is an area of the lot which normally 13 to 18-year-old kids hang out on Friday and Saturday nights, and it was deserted.
Oh.
They normally park their cars and crank their music from car stereo, so I found it almost fitting to leave some rant media stuff there, like a mysterious electronic message in a bottle. I put the CD case up next to a base of a supermarket sign and kept it well hidden and left it there. I checked it on a few days later, and it was nowhere to be found.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun. Stuff like this doesn't happen in a small town Nova Scotia. So I suspect either two things happened. One, they put the CD in the car stereo for newsreel and were entertained. Or they were high, and they may have slipped CD 2 Afternoon to their stereos, which may have frightened them and could explain why I don't see them around that area anymore. It's like, oh my God, what the hell is this? Thought that was amusing. Figured I'd let you know. Cheers, Mookie.
Very cool. Spread the virus.
That's exactly what it is. And that's how you spread the virus. You make sure you get it to the right people, right to young, impressionable kids. Who we can shape and mold with our own twisted views of the future. Yes.
Whoa.
Yes. Yeah, that would be.
I see good things in your future, Mookie.
Yes, very good for you, Mookie. You'll get to get the secret robes, and
that's
you're
right.
Satan free, I guess.
We up your level.
Yes, yeah, so you will go up a level. We
congratulations.
You know, we need to come up with some way of, like, you know, helping our fans. I'm a 15th level fan. You know, I'm like a 25th level fan.
That's
and then
right.
they fight with Pokemon or something. I don't know. It's
I
cards.
Can beat you.
Well, we had that card game.
Yeah, the wild card.
Is that still around? Is
yeah, it's still up on the old Sean Kennedy.
Has anyone ever actually played?
I don't know if it has enough cards. Somebody was working on a full set so you could actually play it.
Well, because you need mana, right? You need, like, something to be mana. So
there
you have
a couple
to have,
mana pieces.
You'd have to have, I think you should have, like, video mana, radio mana, right? So that way you can make Patrolling the card. You can make Newsreel the card. You make the What the Hell Show as a card.
Print mana. Like
yeah, you need to have, and so and you need two sides. You need three sides. You need the core political,
yep.
Right? And then you have the RIAA and all those guys. You have the core political, that's one side.
Yep.
You've got Scientology, yep. You've got to have them in there. Right? Yep. That's another side.
That pharma fascism.
Yeah, pharma fascism.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's your Monsanto, and, you know, Monsanto's going to play the pharma fascism card.
Yeah.
And you've got, government/alien conspiracy.
Yeah,
you know that's another card, and you've got the Wogs, which is the other good guy. So you can play either the Wogs,
right? You can play either side.
You can play you have to either play Wogs. Of course, it'd be kind of one sided, wouldn't it?
Because I mean,
all the cool,
win,
yeah,
right?
the cool cards are always in the Wogs. Yeah, well, Wogs always do win. That's what it's all about, you know. I mean, that's what I think. But I got another piece of feedback here, Deshaun. I think I may have thought. I think I may have thought of a good use for RFID. Flashbang grenades.
Okay.
You know, when you got a title line like that, you got to read the email.
That's right.
Don't send me emails larger than three paragraphs because I delete them. Know this. Okay, anyway. With a slight modification, the flashbang could send a signal of 0.1 to 0.5 seconds before the flash in the bang. The signal would activate RFID and the friendly cops/soldiers' goggles, causing them to polarize and block all incoming light for maybe of a period of 0.5 to -1 seconds.
Oh, okay.
And then return to normal. Not really RFID, just if it's going to be in the equipment eventually for tracking purposes, I think it would be a great addition, preventing friendly flashes during confusion stressful times. There would have to be a massive encoding to ensure enemies couldn't just blind all the soldiers suddenly, but I definitely think that a more intelligent creative people look at this idea, they could make something that saved a lot of our soldiers' lives and vision. Rando! Now, I look at his idea and I go, well, maybe with a flashbang, because, you know, what if they're shooting and blah, 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 right? You know,
I can't see.
A split second of blindness is still, you know, enough to have an error. But, never mind flashbang, why don't you put that in real grenades, and if they pick up an RFID signal, they don't blow up. So if you throw a grenade at a guy, the guy throws a grenade back, the grenade won't detonate.
Yeah, because it knows it's in a friendly area.
Yeah, it's in a friendly area.
Yeah, they can hold the technology on the other side, and they're...
A lot of, you know, crazy, you know, technology is evil, blow ourselves up guys are really into the RFID hacking.
No, they're not really at that level.
No, not so much. They're kind of like the whole, you know, Allah will protect us, and I'm like, well, you know, I'll use tech, you use Allah, guess who's going to win this fight, you know, really.
Yeah.
Or whatever, nameless, you know, God, not necessarily... just Allah. I don't want to be specific.
Picking one under the air.
Sure, you know, Xenu, Yeah. Well, Ron Hubbard, whatever, you know, Jesus, you know, any of these guys, you know, they want to bank on, you know, the Holy Warrior. That's fine. I like guys who are into Holy Warriors. That's great. They make good targets. They're ready to die. It's good, you know. Yeah. So, you know, I like the idea of using RFID in weapons, though. I mean, it could save some lives. I think it's I mean, that's just my personal
Tech viewpoint is neither good nor evil. It's in the application.
Well, some tech is evil. You know,
nuclear warheads. Hard to find a good use for those.
Well, I've got a few
destroying
good uses
meteorites
for,
coming towards the Earth.
Nuking Vegas. I mean, that's
there's
a good,
a good use for it as well.
That's a good use for a nuclear warhead. I'm trying to think of what else you could use, like evil tech. Like, just there's some tech that's just fucking evil. Like, my brain is like things that just, you know, there's nothing positive for this tech at all. Mm-hmm. Like, MRI advertising brain scan technology, you know, that's kind of evil.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there is some tech out there, our applications of tech that's just fucking bleak. You know, like certain copyright patents are just, you know, we've copyrighted torturing machines and stuff like that. Like that, like torture racks and stuff like that. They're kind of evil.
That's tech.
Like torture equipment.
Yeah.
Kind of bad. Tread panning tools, kind of bad, you know.
Tread panning.
It's what they do. You can buy the tools on eBay. They
okay.
You take like looks like an ice pick and you put it inside Buddy's eye and you like punch into the back of the brain. And you scrape it out. It's like it's like lobotomy light. Yeah, you can buy the tool sets.
I don't see
sets.
A good use for that.
Oh, it was it was hot in the lobotomy stage. We were like, oh, you're not fitting in. Well, we'll just scrape your brain out and fucking go from there.
You'll feel better after.
You'll feel better afterwards. Yeah, do it. You could buy tread panning sets.
And probably sold as like curiosity things, or
yeah, but they're sets,
like,
and you can do
new?
It. You can get like, well, no, yeah, they're antiques.
Okay,
but I mean, you could like totally like go out abduct. Like, I've oftentimes thought of making like a bad guy in one of my stories. This guy who goes out and does like neurological experiments on like nubile hot chicks or whatever, turns them into these weird deranged slaves. And after he does whatever he wants with them, he just lets them go on the east side where they're like wandering around looking like meth heads, right?
Oh boy.
Yeah, like nice. Yeah, that's what Sean thinks about when he's in the middle of the night. You know?
It's for research, for books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I write horror. You know, I mean, and that's light. And then usually I put that in the future and amp the technology up and do it with chemicals. And then, you know, we're in after-now territory. Sort yourself out. I've got a good sort yourself out here. Sean K. I'm 17 years old, and I weigh 300 pounds. So unless you're 9 feet tall, chances are you're tubby.
Yep.
Is it my fault? Quote. Question mark? Yes, it is. But at the same time, I can date the change in myself to an incident involving red ants and steroids. What?
Another one of those where you read the first line.
You're
and
like, red ants and steroids? There I was, shooting steroids, and I realized I was sitting on an anthill. Whether the actual fault lies with the treatment or the fact that I was afterwards, I dove these red bumps on the outside of my upper arms to this day, I cannot say. Might be a mix of both, but a bit beyond the point. What makes it all the worse is I want to serve my country while I have the time to work on it, and I'm wasting it. I'm a smart guy, but I'm lazy. I understand concepts of school. Well, I do the work in class, but as soon as I'm out each day, the work stops. This leads to the quandaries of acing all the tests and receiving C grades at the end of marking periods. Suffice to say, I'm not getting into a good school at this point because my only hope is community college for 2 years and then a transfer to a decent school. Therein lies another problem, financial issues. Money sucks, man. You know it. The only way I'm going to be able to pay for school for decent quality is through the military. The fact has never really factored into my goal of joining the military, but it's a plus. I need some help. I need a program that I can work for people who not only I need a program that I know will work for people who I not only do luck to, but also feel I can compare myself to. The mention of static contractions, max contractions struck a nerve in myself for what I would when I lifted weights in the past. Slow reps, 2 seconds up, 4 seconds down, blah, blah, blah. I drink soda.
Uh-oh.
But in the past, I did stop for a good 6 months. And giving it up really isn't a problem. But so that's going out the window. I had switched over to juices, but somehow I think it was a stopgap measure more than anything. I don't eat a lot of junk, nor do I really eat a lot, period. But I don't do much outside of school either. I see myself as a halfway there, but the first half is easy since I've always done it. So, yeah, if you have time, I'd really appreciate it. You could write up your method and help out a walk. And we're not going to give his name. Okay, the first thing you need to do here is you need to get mad. Okay, that's the first thing you need to
motivation.
Do. You need to get angry, Tubby. Okay, because if you don't fucking sort yourself out here, you're going to die. Okay, seriously, and that's the way you got to think about this. The world is not a nice place. There's a lot of shitty things going on the planet right now. So, you know, luckily, you're sitting back, you know, in your 300-pound steak going, you know what? I'm a fat bastard, and I got to do something about this.
That's the first step. That's good.
That's the first step. Okay, so here's Sean's patented workout regime. Okay, now since you've got a little bit going on here, first thing that happens, it's about substitution. The first thing that happens is you go and you drink water. Water yes. doesn't do it. That's all you're drinking. Guess what? I drink water. You don't drink juice because it's loaded with sugars and carbohydrates, and it's just going to help the problem. You drink water. If water just sucks ass, you squeeze lemon into water because lemon and water helps cut fat, believe it or not.
Gives a little bit of flavor.
It gives a bit of flavor, but also as a medical, it absorbs into your cells faster. It actually cuts fat off of your body. Next thing, right off the top. You're getting up in the morning before you eat, and you're lugging your ass around the block. You're going at least 2 miles around the block. Walk, run, crawl. I don't care. Fucking roller skate. I don't give a shit, but you're going 2 miles every morning. It's 2 miles to school. Fucking walk to school. Okay? But you got to get up, and that's before you eat. All right? So you got to have a little bit of planning. You're brown bagging your lunch, and you're paying attention. Now, just by doing that, never mind anything else, the weight will fall off of you.
Oh, yeah.
It will fall off. Like, you'll be like, holy shit, is this weight ever coming off? Just by drinking water and going, like, 2 miles before you eat, first thing when you wake up in the morning. Now, you want to take it one step further, you have at least 500 milligrams of vitamin C every day. Because when you take 500 milligrams of vitamin C, you burn 39% more body fat than if you're not taking enough vitamin C. Vitamin C is crucial in taking body fat. So if like without, and vitamin C is cheap, $6 at your local market, you get vitamin C. But you want to make sure you're taking in like 500 milligrams of vitamin C a day. That's important. And your whole body works on vitamin C. Some new tech I was looking at you. For fat burning, yeah. You want to make sure you take vitamin C.
Can that be done through food? Like eating.
You can
oranges.
Rose hip tea is good, but let's talk about fast. Right? Okay. I'm up in the morning, I'm not happy about having to do this 2 miles.
Yeah.
Really not happy about this. Okay. So you go, you don't take the vitamin first, you go, you do the thing, you drink some water, pop the VC, and then you're good. Okay, rock. Okay, start of the day with a win. Now, books. Okay, the best book on weight loss, weight control, it's a really hard one to follow, is unfortunately the Body for Life book. A lot of hype's been following this, and there's a lot of talk in there about supplements and shit like that. But he says that you don't have to use supplements. It's about eating 6 small meals a day, controlling what you eat. Use that as your guideline. Don't follow it religiously. And then from there, you work out based upon that. And all the science that's based upon it is from there. So if you're looking for something to follow religiously, and if you're going to get religious about something, seriously, if you're going to get devoted and dedicated to something, okay, devote and dedicate yourself to getting in physical shape, because that, at the very least, will help you stay healthy. But and this is an eventual thing. So if you're looking at that, yeah, look at the static contractions, look at Body for Life, look at what you know. You've already lifted weights. Do research. But you're drinking water, you're doing at least 2 miles in the morning, and you're going from there. And I've fallen off the bandwagon. I'm having a hard time running now because I'm doing weights. Yeah, well, I'm 247 pounds now, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm getting some mass, and it's hard on my joints
because
fucking pretty big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Muscular-wise. So I'm like, it's hard on the body. So now I'm cycling. I'm going to start trying to cycle for about an hour and a half every day. Fat burn, huge fat burn. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
You cut that down, right? And that's the way to go, right? You know, if you want to do something that's a workout, you don't want to go to the gym, throw a bunch of weight in a backpack and go for a walk. Or just go for a long walk. And if it's not much of a workout, you're like, well, that was suck. Throw some weight in there. That'll
tire it harder.
Yeah, make it harder. Up and down hills, things like that. These are all, like, there is no magic bullet solution to being in shape. You just have to go out there and do it. But you're never going to get in shape unless you're drinking a shitload of water, flushes out your fat, put some lemon in there, flushes out more fat. You do that in the morning. Just get up in the morning before you even do anything. Walk, run, jog, 2 miles, whatever. Get your ass around the block 2 miles and drink water. And, dude, you won't get muscular, but the weight will fall off. And then from there, once you take a photo of yourself first, because you look at that every day and be like, yeah, look at that fat bastard. Yeah, I'm not that
I'm
guy.
Not him.
I'm not that guy anymore.
That's right.
Not that guy anymore. And that's your motivation, right? You're like, yeah, I'm badass. Yeah. And then once you start going that way, sure, fair ball. Now, the thing is, you want to ask yourself now with your life and get a good job. Okay, well, that's great. What you want to ask yourself is, how much money do I want to make? That's the question. Because you don't work to work. You work to make money. That's why you work.
That's right.
So if you're going to want to, do you want to live like some shitty life, you know, I mean, with like nothing, and you're happy with that, and all you're going to do is, you know, like have like your little condo, and that's it, and that's fair ball. Nothing wrong with that. Well, bullshit. I think there's a lot wrong with that. I think people sell themselves short all the time. And what you need to do is start looking at, okay, what makes money? Let's start at the top of the list. All the trades that make big dollars. And go through there and see which of the ones that make big dollars you're willing to go for. Not because they make big dollars, because you kind of like, you're interested in that sort of thing. Like me personally now, I'm looking at using the Army to get ahead. You betcha. No doubt. I'm doing that myself. And I've talked about it on the show. Sim and I, lots of stress there. I'm also looking at, well, he's not so keen on the Army.
Somebody's
got to
do it.
Join the Army.
Somebody's got to do it.
But
I'm not going to do it. So somebody else has got to do it.
Sim's not doing it. You know. So I'm looking at that kind of stuff.
I mean, soldier.
Signals, you know, lots of tech there, lots of free training, work with satellites. You know, why not? And I'm also looking at diving. That's the latest kick I've been onto. I'm looking into diving, some of the underwater welding and stuff like that. Some neat shit there.
Yep. Kinda lots of employment underwater.
Lots of
employment. Lots of water.
A planet three times the size of Earth, baby. Diving's hot. Can't go wrong. Very cool. So, you know, depending on where you live, what you're doing, you know, I mean, maybe think about how much cash you want to make and then orchestrate your life based around that sort of an idea.
That's a good method.
You betcha. I mean, it's pretty fucking basic.
Yeah.
Stop buying shit you don't need to impress people you don't like. Like jeans for $1 million, you know, whatever the hell it is. It's retarded.
You can clothe yourself for less.
Yeah, trust me, you know. And you can even do it with the same clothes if you don't mind shopping secondhand. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, and the sad thing is the buddy knows all this. You know, and I get these kind of emails.
Everyone knows all
Everyone knows this. I'm addicted to Warcraft. How do I stop? Turn off the computer.
Break the disc in half.
How serious are you?
Yeah.
You know? Quit using the box.
Find something else to do that takes up all your time.
If the box is using you, stop using the box. It's just that simple. Quit cold turkey.
Yep.
Turn it off. You know, walk away.
I read something the other day. Somebody wanted to quit TV. They put a big sign on their TV that said, the salesman in the living room.
Ooh, yeah.
And then after a year, they didn't watch it. They threw the TV out.
I put a little sticker on my TV.
Yeah, I like yours too.
It's still there.
Yeah.
And it's actually really, really small. It's like one of those label
tiny,
makers.
Tiny.
And it's a black TV, and it's a black label with white lettering on it. And you have to get real close. And if you look at it, at the top of the screen, it says, this is a lie. And like,
very to the point.
And eventually you wind up getting a little bit, you know, angry about that. You're like, oh, you know, and it's kind of subliminal. It's always there. This is a lie.
Because you know it's there.
You know, it's a lie. And after you haven't watched TV in a while, you watch like a Miami Vice episode. And you're like, oh, my God, this is ass. And like, this used to be popular. People used to base their lives on this shit. It's scary stuff, man. Scary stuff. I don't know why people do that. But, you know.
Yeah, one quarter of their life.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like the whole creationism thing. Like one in four people believe that evolution is real. Three out of four people in North America believe in creationism.
Yeah,
but I got a story on that, so that's okay.
We'll discuss that in a bit.
I've got that trumping on there. But first, we've got some brain news. The organ everybody forgets about.
Yep.
Okay.
Really complex one.
Well, of course, and everybody's always, you know, right now the brain is the new frontier. That's the new model. Everybody wants to know how the brain works. Yes, we want
the money in that.
Yes, yeah. Well, pretty soon it's like they're going to start, you know, because they're trying to find new ways to advertise to get you to buy your shit.
Yeah.
Give me your fucking money.
They tried the eyes, the ears, all the other senses. No.
But let's cut the shit. Let's go straight to the store with brain technology, and that's what the story's about. If choosing the right outfit or whether to invest in stocks or bonds is difficult, it may just not be indecisiveness, but how brain cells assign values to different items, scientists said on Sunday. Researchers at Harvard Medical School, okay, who's financing this?
Yeah.
In Boston, have identified neurons or brain cells that seem to play a role in how a person selects different items or goods. Now, this is the kind of technology that makes me go, wow, this can be so abused. Scientists have known that cells in different parts of the brain react to attributes such as color, taste, or quantity. Dr. Camillo Pedora Shapira and John Assad, associate professor of neurobiology, found out neurons involved in assigning values that help people make choices. The neurons we have identified encode the values individuals assign to available items. They make the choice based upon subjective preferences, a behavior called economic choice. There's a term.
Economic choice.
Economic choice, utilizing mindshare and the economic choice model. Pandora Shipopa said in a statement, the scientists who reported the findings in the Journal of Nature located the neurons in the area of the brain known as the orbitofrontal cortex, or the OFC. While studying macaw monkeys, which have had to choose between different flavors and quantities of juices. And the macaw monkeys are probably not too happy about the whole test. They correlated the animal's choices with the activity of neurons in the OFC, which has the value assigned to different types of juices. Some neurons would be highly active when the monkey selected 3 drops of grape juice, for example, or 10 drops of apple juice. Other neurons encode the value of only orange juice or grape juice. The monkey's choices may be based on these activities of these neurons. You know, this is pretty ground-level shit. We're talking about monkeys drinking juice here, okay? Let's cut the shit here. Yeah. You know, it's not really like the ultimate terrifying factor. It's like, oh, my God, mind control. I'll never be able to drink fucking OJ again.
I'll never think of it the same again.
I'll never look at juice again. Next time I'm going to be buying juice, Sean, I'm going to be like, oh, my God.
The monkeys.
The monkeys. Think of the fucking monkeys. Oh, my God.
Monkeys died for this juice.
Those goddamn monkeys.
Dirty angels.
You know, and I, for the record, am not totally against animal testing. I think it's used too much. I think there's, you know, a little bit animal suffering is okay.
Head off and
well, they did that. I seem to remember that they kept a monkey's head alive, separate from its body, which I'm like, creepy, but probably, you know, quite useful.
Yeah,
you know,
probably.
I mean, you know, if you could keep my head alive, I'd like that. I'd probably like a body back, but
yeah,
you know,
eventually.
You know, give me some good stuff here. You know, but
poking things in the brains of monkeys so they could sell things better.
Yeah, that's
fuck that.
That's kind of like. Kind of in the immoral research. And that's one of the quotes I had in the Bloodstained Rabbit. If a man does evil for evil's sake, he's a scientist. You know? And
They have a name for that.
Yeah.
Scientist.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if a man does evil for the state,
corporate
he's a soldier.
Scientist.
Yeah, and that's what these guys are.
Corporate scientists.
They're corporate scientists. And you got like these, it's like we're getting, you're not putting that kind of a brain into my cyborg. You know, we're getting very RoboCop. And if you haven't actually watched RoboCop 1 or 2.
Which I haven't.
Which Sim hasn't, if you can believe that shit.
I'm missing very key movies.
Yeah, like RoboCop is like right up your alley because the commercials, it has these fake commercials in there that are just magic. Nice. Like, oh my God. Nukem, the new game from Parker Brothers. Oh yeah.
Nukem.
Yeah, Magnavolt, a lethal response. And oh Jesus, some of the commercials.
I've been catching up with my Max Headroom too.
Oh yeah, that's good stuff.
I got a hold of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're great.
They're
so
amazing.
Good.
Max Headroom Videodrome, good mix.
Just watch the one with the skateboard.
The Rakers.
Yeah, the Rakers.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite episodes. That was local guys here. Those guys from Skull Skates in Vancouver who did that.
Really?
Yeah, I knew a guy who was actually one of the Rakers. Yeah, I met him in a skate shop. It was like, yeah, you know, and I always liked these things because I saw it in Max Headroom. And he went, oh, yeah, I was in that.
You're like,
and I'm like, fuck off. And he's like, no, yeah, we broke like 30 boards when we were doing it.
He told
me all about it. And I'm like, that's hot. And I was like, yeah, we had steak knives. That's what they used for the claws.
That's what those
they were steak knives on the back
Ooh,
of the. Yeah,
real
I'm like,
steak knife.
Fuck. But after now, like, if you're looking for, if I was going to choose one media that, like, totally. Made me take that and go, well, let me just apply this like to a factor of 5.
Watch Max Headroom, you'll go, that's Afternoon.
That's totally 20 minutes into the future, baby. Yeah.
You want to know what it really looks like?
Yeah, Afternoon. And that'd be good for the graphic novel artist to take a look at. You want inspiration for Dirty and how everything's supposed to look?
You can download all the Max Headrooms right off the internet.
Oh, required viewing.
Yeah.
Required, man. You want to check
that out.
Because
they're not on DVD. You can't buy them.
Oh, because they're illegal? Oh, because
they're just not out.
Well, Coca-Cola owns all the rights to Max Headroom. That's why.
Yeah, could
right?
be, yeah.
Yeah, well, for sure. So if they're not releasing it, then, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Anyway.
So anyway, in cyborg news. Right, following in line with that. Good segue.
Good segue.
Send me by Epex. You sent me the last one. Last one was sent to me by Wandy.
Yeah.
But this one here was sent by Epex. Work on artificial arms that would be controlled by the human mind is ramping up thanks to helping financial hand from the Defense Advanced.
DARPA.
DARPA,
those good people at DARPA,
announced in February, which we reported on then, that it would pour 55 million into prosthetic arm research led by Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Laboratory. The work will be spread among more than two dozen institutions. Today, the University of Utah announced a $10 million contract as part of an overall project to develop peripheral nerve interface. This is sexy shit. I love this kind of stuff. The implanted device would relay nerve impulses wirelessly from what's left of a limb to a computer worn on the person's belt. From there, the signal would be routed to a bionic arm and back to the remainder of the amputated arm, where it would then flow naturally back to
feedback.
The brain. Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, yes, yes. Researchers at the university have already developed a pill-sized array with 100 tiny electrodes. Now they'll seek to improve the array so it can be implanted into up to four major nerves in a patient's residual arm. Yeah.
That's
hot.
Sexy.
That is
nice.
Sexy. Each electrode would communicate with a small number of fibers within a nerve. Imagine an artificial arm that moves naturally in response to your thoughts that allows you to feel both the outside world and your own movements, that is as strong and graceful as an intact biological limb. Well, I'd rather imagine an arm that's just slightly better. Personally.
A little bit bigger, a little
well,
stronger.
Well, you know, because once that technology hits the market, it'll be like, still using old arms? Arm yourself with the new Saito 5000. I used to spend all my time in the gym working out, wasting time, but now with the Saito 5000, I don't have to do any of that shit. I just simply jack up with the patented Neuro fluids, which they can only buy from the Saito arm manufacturer.
Yeah.
You know, and then we run into a different set of problems. Yep. And they got open source bio limbs.
You can't afford this arm.
You can't afford this arm. That's what our researchers, teaming with others around the world, are setting out to achieve. Yes, over the next 4 years, other scientists will build the next generation of mechanical arm designed to work like the real thing. Now,
that's what you want.
It takes 15 fucking years to put a new spaceship up, but 4 years and we're getting cyborg parts?
Yeah.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Okay. I'm sorry. Don't get me wrong. Cyborg parts is really, really hot. Like in the cyborg parts, very, very sexy.
Well, you can use these in space.
Yeah, you could. You know, I mean, if you cross this with the
Canadarm.
Yeah, with the
you can
brain
have feedback.
Yeah.
It.
Well, not only that. Why don't we take this exact same thing and mecha? Oh shit!
Yeah.
I just curl up in a fetal position in the middle of this giant man-sized robot who can now run because I've got total feedback.
Yeah.
Sexy.
You know when its foot hits the ground.
Yeah. And you can feel it. Yep. You know, I merge with the machine. You know, hot. Existing prosthetic limbs can typically manage just one movement at a time. they suck. The new arms will take the signals that go out to all the different arm muscles at once. All the person has to do is think about natural movement, and the arm will respond in a natural way. We're basically listening in on what the nervous system will be telling the natural arm, translating into a signals that will move an artificial limb in the same way.
It's not even relearning. It's...
I'm all about Dr. Octopus at this stage.
Give me eight.
I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, why stop there?
Yeah.
Why stop there? I want a tail, bitch. I want wings, motherfucker. Gliding, hang gliding bat wings, bitch. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I don't want to have no fucking arms are nice. Yeah, sure. Okay, no problem. You know, but can I, how about I change up the hand a little bit there? Why don't we, when I make my finger go in, it does something else and, my hotkey codes there, or maybe we just have the hands, the hands pop off and I can reattach new limbs and do different things. And hot.
Put a chainsaw on there.
You know, well, you know, I you know, chainsaw, bolt thrower, you know, get all 40K about it. But I mean, you know, it's very cool. Very, very cool. And this kind of technology is something that, you know, you want to kind of follow. You want to see what's happening with that because,
definitely.
Hey, you know, another reason to keep your brain working.
Let's hold them to those 4 years.
Yeah.
We better see it.
Motherfucker.
2010.
Yeah, it's like the flying car.
Time for the
car.
Olympics.
We still don't have
robotic
a
Olympics.
Yeah, that'd be hot. That would be fucking hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't be in these Olympics unless you do steroids in Olympics. It's like you're these total juiced out monkeys. Welcome to the Rifts World Olympics.
Yeah, it'd be crazy.
In presidential news. Now, Normally, I don't comment on the president.
Because there's enough shows doing that.
There's enough shows doing that. But this is just one story, kind of summarizing a few things. And I got a few things I want to say about this, so that's okay. Send to me by Twitch. You know. President Bush has quietly claimed authority. Quietly. I don't think President Bush can actually do anything quietly. But anyway. Claimed the authority to disobey more than 750 laws enacted since he took office. Asserting that he has the power to set aside
for the moon.
Yeah. Asserting that he has the power to set aside any statute passed by Congress when it conflicts with his interpretation of the Constitution.
Well, he's the president. He can do anything he wants.
Among the laws Bush said he can ignore are military rules and regulations, affirmative action provisions, requirements for Congress, being told about immigration service problems, whistleblower protections for nuclear regulatory officials, and safeguards against political interference in federally funded research. Legal scholars say the scope and aggression of Bush's assertions that he can bypass laws represents a concrete effort to expand his power at the expense of Congress, upsetting the balance of power in the branches of government. The Constitution is clear in assigning Congress the power to write laws and the president a duty to take care of the laws to be faithfully executed. Bush, however, has repeatedly declared that he does not need to execute a law he believes is unconstitutional.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Former administration officials contend that just because Bush reserves the right to disobey a law does not mean that he's not enforcing it. Let me read that again. Former administration officials contend that just because Bush reserves the right to disobey a law does not mean he's not enforcing it.
Do as I say, not as I do.
In many cases, he is simply asserting his belief that that a certain requirement encroaches on presidential power. He is simply asserting his belief that a certain requirement encroaches on his personal power. I'm going to cut up some babies. Mr. President, that's illegal. Don't you tell me what I can't do. I'm the president. You're encroaching on my presidential power. Okay.
See this hat I wear? That means I'm the president.
See this hat? They're all my planes, bitch. But with the disclosure of Bush's domestic spying program, which ignored a law requiring warrants to tap the phones of Americans, many legal specialists say Bush is hardly reluctant to bypass laws he believes he has the constitutional authority to override. Far more than any predecessor, Bush has been aggressive about declaring his right to ignore vast swaths of law. Many of which says he infringes on his power he believes the Constitution assigns to him alone as the head of the executive branch and the commander-in-chief of the military. That doesn't apply to me, motherfucker. I am the presidente.
He's ordained by God to rule the earth, in fact.
Well, there was a guy who said that. There was a general who said that. I don't believe that President Bush was elected. I believe he was ordained by God, is what he said. Yeah, that was a quote. Wow. I don't remember who said that, but yeah, that's fucking boom.
Well, Bush has said many times that God spoke to him and told him to do this.
Philip Cooper, a Portland State University law professor who has studied the executive power claims Bush made during his first term, said Bush and his legal team have spent 5 years quietly working to concentrate even more government power into the White House. There is no question that this administration has been involved in a very carefully thought out systematic process of expanding presidential power at the expense of other branches of government. Cooper said, this is really big, very expansive, and very significant. This is conspiracy talk for presidential types. Now, on one hand, you gotta be able to listen in on phone lines to catch terrorists. If people are like, the terrorists don't have rules, so you gotta make sure that you give your people
enough fucking
power to be able to catch the bad guys. I mean, that's just logic.
You do. Yes.
Now, that said, that is to a point, but there's a whole other thing that Bush is doing lately that kind of makes me go, what the fuck are you doing? You know, clearly, you're kind of doing some Prince of Darkness shit. You know, this kind of stuff is a bit wacko.
Without rules, there's anarchy.
Yeah, and
he is bypassing rules and setting a very bad example. And if he wants to do this stuff, you should just change the rules then.
And it's getting kind of empire-like.
Yeah.
Now, again, there's some pros and cons to that
as well. That's against the law.
You know, I don't know, you know, but...
we'll make it law.
What we're saying, like whether or not you agree with an imperial system Whether or not you agree with having an empire, whether or not you want to go with that, that's not the issue here. But it's pretty fucking apparent that that's where it's going.
Isn't that what dictators do? They make up their own rules.
Well, or emperors, or kings, or whatever you want to call
them. Any kind of one-person rule.
The leader guy. That's something you want to look at and go, okay, well, hey, what's going on here? What's the fucking deal?
Of course, the leader needs power, but...
The leader needs power, and,
it's better if we know what the hell he's doing.
I mean, if I was president, fuck yeah. I'd be like, yeah, bitch, I'm the president. Woo! I'm going to roll around naked. Yeah. Spank me with the dildo. I'm the president. Yeah. Okay, there's certain points where you're like, okay, well, whatever. I mean, even guys like, they say like Teddy Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, there's all this stuff saying, well, they used to go and they used to, get dressed up as women. And Clinton, he got a blowjob. Oh, my God. Okay,
that's
whatever.
Not hurting anyone.
Bush can have Hummers 24/7 if he wants. I put that as presidential privilege, okay? Just don't fuck with the laws, okay? Yeah. Like, don't do that. I mean, there's lots of stuff you want to, dress up like a chicken and cluck. Who cares?
Yeah, if the president comes down and says to all the people, we are not catching the bad guys. We need to change the laws so I can catch these bad guys. And the public goes, yes, we think that's right. Those laws should be changed so you can catch the bad guys. Then great.
That's one thing about democracy. Democracy is a myth. I've recently come to the conclusion that democracy is a total myth. What it is when you have a democracy, you have a media-controlled government. So the people who control the media control the government because you can sell any point
control,
you want.
Control the media, control the people.
Yeah, and therefore get elected whoever the fuck you want. Yeah. You can have the most accurate electoral system in the world if your media is full of shit. That's all programming. It doesn't matter who's voting because all their data is corrupt. So it's like, oh, Jesus. come on now. That's why.
He won because the media said he won.
Well, that's why all these E-mans and everybody in Iraq all want to fucking, have a civil war. Because that way the religious groups keep power. They don't give a fuck who has the power as long as it's religious. Yeah. As long as religions have the power, the priests have the power. That means Joe Shithead with his little religious book and his just an ounce of charisma. Could you imagine me? In the Middle East, as a bad guy?
Bad
Jesus
idea.
Christ. I mean,
it'd be all over.
Well, I'd be in Guantanamo Bay right now. Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, that's where I'd be.
Or heavily fortified and still okay.
Yeah, or
one
hunkered,
or the other.
Or hunkered down somewhere. That's what we're talking about here. Now, on that presidential trip, let's talk about the fucking bird flu for a minute, shall we?
It's killing billions a day, Sean. Billions a day.
2 million people die every year from tuberculosis. 500,000 people die every year from malaria. Every fucking year.
And much, much more than that from AIDS.
And AIDS, yeah, let's talk about fucking AIDS. Oh, Jesus. Now, this shit here, okay, this was...
I think we talked about bird flu last week, about them making up radical strains of it.
Well, check this out. Results of a recent influenza pandemic outbreak simulation.
Worst case scenario simulation.
Show that telecommunication systems would be overwhelmed and the internet could be shut down within 2 to 4 days of an outbreak.
Not the
internet. Oh, Jesus.
Well, we got to do
four fucking days.
I need my email.
48 hours after bird flu outbreaks, the internet gets taken out. No shit. The results of a simulation conducted by Booz Allen. Booz, yeah, no fucking
Booz.
No, Booz. By Jack Daniels. By Booz Allen Hamilton Incorporated of McLean, Pennsylvania. The World Economic Forum found an outbreak of avian flu would severely challenge the ability of governments and private sectors to manage essential services and communicate crucial information. Because telecommunications will not be a viable option, public and private organizations will need to establish partnerships that would enable them to coordinate the plan for use of alternative communications.
Brought to you by the pharma fascists, I'm quite sure.
Wait for it. Governments and business organizations need to work together to improve their ability to manage the possible avian flu pandemic. Not to mention satellite hits and the eventuality of Cthulhu Rising, all of which are as likely as the avian flu. Said Heather Byrne, Senior Vice President of Booz Allen. The time to start preparing is now. It's now.
Now.
Got to do it now. In the simulation of a hypothetical pandemic originates in Eastern Europe, it spreads to Germany, where it rapidly spreads through much of Europe. As a result, everyday life practically grinds to a halt.
Oh, my God.
It's 28 fucking days later.
Bring out your dad.
With the Asian bird flu. Oh, my God.
Glad I'm not in Germany, then.
Okay. People, it's not often that I will come out this, you know. This is so fucking crazy. This avian bird flu thing is
so...
How
long has this been going on for?
It's going on for so long
years
now that I'm starting to get a little worried. Not of the avian bird flu. That maybe there's something else coming and they're going to call it the avian bird flu.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
There's a lot of people who think, yeah, we need to kill off a bunch of the populace because there's just too many fucking people.
Well, there are.
So we kill 200,000 white people and decimate the third world. And oh, shit. Guess it was the new black plague. Oh, well, we'll just go down there and take your resources. Thanks for calling.
Good.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
China. Going to be a problem. Going to be a problem with China. Better take them out.
Years ago, they were developing research for specific genetic flus.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Only hit certain people with certain genes.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, why are they doing that? Why are you trying to isolate your target, you know, fucking victim here?
Oh, who are they preparing? The Western world.
Oh, yeah.
The Western world.
Yeah. So, a little concerned about that. Maybe there's some shit going on here because there's a lot more bullshit going on. But, you know, it could also be. What Debrimi sent me here.
Could be follow the money. Could be just pharma fascist.
Follow the money. Now, if we follow the money, and new fucking scientist. New scientist ran this story.
Yeah.
This, oh my God. This is another one, also in bird flu news. The biggest hope, this is according to new fucking scientist, okay?
Yeah.
The biggest hope for saving people at the start of the blue pandemic, before a vaccine is available, is the antiviral drug Tamiflu, owned purely, wholeheartedly, by Donnie Rumsfeld. Donald Rumsfeld,
really?
Yes, do some research. Donnie Rumsfeld has huge fucking shares in Tamiflu. But the drug is hard to make, and stocks are limited. Oh, Jesus.
It's so expensive. God damn.
God damn, it's so expensive. But that could soon end.
We need government funding badly.
They got it. Wait for it. A Nobel Prize-winning chemist has devised a straightforward method for making Tamiflu and has not patented it. A Nobel Prize winning chemist.
Put that shit on the internet.
Ah, that's just it.
Yeah.
He's developed it. He's like, Tamiflu, eh? People are going to make a bunch of money because of this fictitious bird flu. So here's what happened here. Hi, I'm a Nobel Prize winning chemist. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Okay, I see what you're doing. Oh, you got your Tamiflu? Here's how you make it. So everyone can have it now. Nobody's making any money. You want to cut the shit out with the Asian bird flu now?
Nice.
Tamiflu is now made mainly by Swiss firm Roche, starting with a molecule called blah, 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 yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. It will be able to make 400 million courses of treatment by the end of this year, but even then it will take years to make emergency stockpiles for countries like Britain have ordered. Making Tamiflu is slow, partly because of Skihimic, which is this weird shit that they start with, is hard to get. Also because a one-step process involves a highly explosive chemical called azide. As a result, Tamiflu can only be made in small batches in a few tens of liters at a time. But Elias Corey of Harvard University, who won a Nobel Prize in 1990 for chemical synthesis, and his colleagues have devised a new way to make the drug from two cheap, plentiful petrochemicals, acrylate and butadiene. One key is a novel catalyst developed by Corey's lab 4 years ago, which links those chemicals with a six-carbon molecular backbone of Tamiflu, which has the right-handedness. Many molecules exist in right and left-handed forms. Only one works. Blah, 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 blah. It can be done at room temperature. Except one step needs refrigeration. Corey told New Scientist, and the technique produces high yields.
Ooh. There you go.
But that's a little bit late because from another website, we've got the U.S. government has awarded $1 billion worth of contracts to five pharmaceutical companies to develop vaccines for possible flu pandemics as well as for seasonal flu. The money is allocated to $298 million to Solvay Pharmaceuticals, $274 million to GlaxoSmithKline, we all know those guys, $220 million to Novartis, $169 million to MedImmune, and $41 million to Dynport Vaccine Company with Baxter International.
Poor Dynport. Only $41 million. Oh. How are they ever going to get it?
Yeah, I guess they don't believe in these guys' technology. I don't know why they'd be so hesitant, but with the, you know. It's, okay, don't get vaccinated because I don't know what they're making shit from petrochemicals. Kiss my ass. I'm not getting shot up with this stuff. I'm not concerned about it. It's never going to happen. It's a fucking scam. I don't know what's going on here.
I'm sure soon we'll see advertisings on the television. Get yourself vaccinated soon.
If you still want to get your email, you better make sure you're vaccinated against the bird flu.
Do your patriotic duty.
Jesus. In Skynet news, now this is part of a three-page article, but this is pretty crazy. This guy has built an invention machine. He's built a cluster of computers that thinks and solves problems that are presented to it.
Really?
Yes. John Koza hovers over a computer terminal in a cramped office a mile from a building where he keeps his invention machine. Seated at a terminal, he is a clean-cut researcher named Lee Jones. Seated at the terminal is a clean-cut researcher named Lee Jones, one of Koza's two employees. His other employee, Samuel Air Sakran, leans over a second terminal, stroking his facial stubble. Goes on to talk about how he's automated the creative process. To begin with, an invention machine randomly generates 75,000 prescriptions, then analyzes them in the Kojak, which is their name for the machine,
which
assigns each a fitness rating based on how close it comes to the desired set of specifications. In this case, a wide field of view, a minimal distortion. None of the 75,000 members, first generation, will use wide field telescopic eyepieces, blah, 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 blah. But basically, they give it a problem. It assigns 75,000 solutions, then uses Darwinian theory to create the best possible solution,
right,
and thinks it down using all variables. It's quite an expansive thing, but the whole thing is very Skynet. As you read this, you're like, this is like Gen 1 mass AI where people are letting machines do the thinking for them.
Right.
Very, very interesting story.
Looks like it's only about lenses, but it could be extrapolated to any problem, right?
And getting back to our Mud Hut news.
That's always good.
Believing that God created the universe in 6 days is a form of superstitious paganism, according to a Vatican astronomer. The fucking Vatican. The Vatican. Guy Consolmagno claimed yesterday. This Vatican astronomer said that...
Isn't Vatican saying the same as Canadian? Or is Vatican...
Vatican's a country.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're also the head of the Roman Catholic Church.
Yes.
So the Roman Catholic Church is saying, creationism, you have your head up your ass. Brother Consolmagno, who works in the Vatican Observatory in Arizona, is curator of the Vatican Meteorite Collection in Italy. Weird. Said a destructive myth has developed in modern society that religion and science were competing ideologies. He described creationism, whose supporters wanted taught in school alongside evolution, as a kind of paganism because it harkened back to the day of nature gods who were responsible for natural events.
That's how I think of it, too.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird...
The lightning god, the water god.
Yeah, so, so even the Vatican is saying that creationists can suck a dick. And your daily hack today is Nlyte, thanks to Nightfall Gemini. Have you ever wanted to remove Windows components like Media Player, Internet Explorer, Outlook Express, MSN Explorer, and Messenger?
Why, yes, I have.
Well, how about not even installing them with Windows?
Sounds good.
Nlyte is a tool for permanent Windows components removal and pre-installation Windows setup. After removal, there is an option to make bootable image ready for CD burning or CD testing in virtual machines. With Nlyte, you'll be able to have Windows installation on an install that doesn't include or even contain on CD unwanted components.
Choice is good.
And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the generous donations of a bunch of people for this next month, but I don't have the list in front of me, so they're all coming, but we love each and every one of you in dirty, dirty ways. If you would like to help keep this daily news weekly news podcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab because every little bit helps, and again, we love you in dirty ways. And thanks again to everyone in their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel. That's newsreel at randradio.com. Now, if you like the music in the background, you're going to want to pick up the album by Ministry called Rio Grande Blood. And I'm going to leave you with the title track from that album.
Which is Rio Grande Blood.
Rio Grande Blood, which I've never heard, so kind of random. All right. Sim, do you have anything else that you wish to add to this?
Not at this time.
All right. Well, until next week. That's what Server said. End of line.
And now, a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
have adopted sophisticated terrorist tactics. And I'm a dangerous, dangerous man with dangerous, dangerous weapons. I want to drain the coal resources in America and foreign sources of crude oil. I am a weapon of mass destruction. I'm a brutal dictator. I'm evil.